The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Now knocked down by Liljegren. Moves to the right. Here comes the shot. Score! That's Wennberg on the right side. Nice job by Liljegren to jump into the play, knock down the puck, and feed it over to his fellow Swede. And that's the 10th goal of the season for Alex Wennberg. Wennberg has hit the 10-goal mark now 7 times in his career. And he extends a point streak pretty well, too, to 4 straight games. And that makes the score 5-2 in favor of Vegas.
Well, one, they have everything you really want on a power play. They have an elite guy in the half on Eichel. They got a big guy in Stone as a righty. And then they have Tommy in the middle as a lefty. And then they get a one-timer in the flank. And then you get Mitch Marner on top. And that's without Theodore. There's dangerous weapons at all 5 spots. That's what makes it difficult.
All right, good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? The San Jose Sharks had it proven to themselves once again that is good as they have been up to this point of the season, they are not as good as Vegas. And you can look at it this a number of ways. Vegas just has more talent overall. Vegas is a bad matchup for San Jose. Vegas takes San Jose out of their game. The fact of the matter is you do not win consecutive games 7-2 unless you are a considerably better team. And that is the harsh, if not accurate, reality of where Vegas is compared to San Jose right now. Now, over the course of the year, it's not like Vegas has been wildly more consistent than San Jose. That has not been the case. They don't have as many wins as San Jose, but they are a team that provides a lot of danger, a lot of top-end talent, a lot of structure, a lot of discipline, a great deal of experience, and they know how to beat teams like San Jose. And San Jose, we can all classify as a good team, but they're not a great team. They're not a team that has Stanley Cup experience in their back pocket. They are a team that on the 12th of January are sitting at third place in the Pacific, 23-19-3 with 49 points. If you had told me that was going to be the case quite some time ago, I would have been very, very happy. So we take the good with the bad when we look everything San Jose has been going through. But last night is just one of those games where you can see that Vegas is bigger than San Jose. They're stronger than San Jose. They're faster away from the puck than San Jose. And that's a thing that we've seen a lot of these top-tier teams do with against San Jose, whether it's been Tampa, whether it's been Washington, whether it's been Vegas, whether it's been Colorado. And San Jose kind of gets a bit into this chasing the puck mentality, and that's just indicative of them taking San Jose out of their game. They move the puck well. They move the puck with purpose. They don't turn it over, or at least if they do, it's not going to be an extremely dangerous situation. And then you combine that with the fact that they are opportunistic. It seemed like every time San Jose was making a mistake, Vegas was there to just absolutely pounce on it. And the other thing I noticed, especially early on in this game, and this is why Vegas is so good, is they just dominated the neutral zone. They kept on winning that positional battle where San Jose couldn't get it very far past the logo, and it'll be going back the opposite direction. San Jose was not getting extended ozone time. San Jose was not getting the possession battle won. They were not winning the faceoffs, at least at critical situations. And when that happens consistently over the course of a game, you are going to find yourself in a very, very difficult situation, and that's exactly what happened in this game. Now, it was not the same as the game we saw just before Christmas where they lost 7-2, because that game was just boom, boom, boom. All of a sudden, Vegas was up, you know, big time after the first period and just extended it out even more. But this game, you could tell, it just was not going to be San Jose's night relatively early on, because as soon as they come back to tie that game with a goal from Colin Graft, where you thought to yourself, oh, okay, here's an opportunity, and then suddenly it's a power play goal. You know, Dorofeev scores to make it 2-1. That's the halfway mark. Vegas dominated the rest of the the first period. Then you get into the second period, Jack Eichel again, then Tomas Hertl, and then Zach Whitecloud, and suddenly it's 5-1, and the Sharks are kind of looking to themselves and thinking, what just happened? Alexander Wennberg did get another goal. He continues to be red hot, make it 5-2, but San Jose could not fight their way back into this one. You cannot count on a wild comeback in every single game. And Shea Theodore added on a sixth goal. Tomas Hertl added on another goal. 7-2 was your final. The San Jose Sharks would not have a magic wild comeback. Even though they initially gave Macklin Celebrini a point, they took it away. So his point streak comes to an end, which is unfortunate. I didn't realize that even until after the game. But the Sharks just had a tough night. That's how it goes. That's fine as part of the NHL season, because this one loss had three consecutive wins before it. And now we're getting into the stretch of the season, and I know we keep on saying this, but this could truly define the San Jose Sharks season. They go on the road. They're going to face Washington and Detroit, two very good teams. Then they've got Saturday, Sunday off. Then they're going to be at the Panthers, at Tampa, a couple days off, home against the Rangers for one. That's their one home game left in the month of January. Then they're at Vancouver, at Edmonton, at Calgary to end the month. Then we go into the month of February. They are going to be at Chicago and at Colorado. And they're not home again, and they don't play again from that point because of the Olympic break until the 26th of February. So that's going to be Calgary. But the Sharks have a big, big challenge in front of them. And I'm glad that we are talking about challenges that will define their season extending through the month of January. And I always have to counter this by saying I could be wrong. The Sharks could, you know, not get through this stretch in very convincing fashion and then go on a wild ride on the other side. That's always possible. I would think that if they want to keep themselves in that conversation, it is going to happen now because they are going up against such tough competition. Washington, Detroit, Florida, Tampa for a four-game road trip. That is wildly difficult. Home quickly for one game against the Rangers and then back out on the road again. And you're not home until the end of the month of February. And obviously that's got a little break in there with the Olympic action. But yeah, I mean, San Jose has given themselves an opportunity. I think that's the most important thing. They've given themselves a chance to prove themselves through the month of January and hopefully through the month of February. And that's as much as you could have asked for at this point of the season. If you heard the buildup yesterday, you heard my conversation with Curtis Pashelka. And one of the things that I asked him was about Ryan Warsofsky finding himself in a unique situation where the timeline has sped up to where suddenly this team, where no one was talking about the playoffs and talking about what they might be able to do at the start of this year, as the idea of expectation creeping in, where people are starting to wonder about the Sharks, if they can make it to the playoffs this year and what they can do next. And it is exciting because no one thought it was going to be here. But, you know, I asked about, with all this talent, you know, that Ryan Warsofsky is dealing with, all this momentum, things, you know, happening and progressing so quickly, what his reaction would be to it.
Yeah. And, you know, the way the Pacific Division is kind of shaped up this year has sort of allowed that sort of talk to begin, right? I mean, you know, let's be honest. I mean, the Pacific Division has not been the best division when you look across the NHL. There's, you know, Vegas has been sort of, you know, they've been good, but they've also been a little bit inconsistent in terms of their play. Edmonton, I think, falls in that same category, too. They haven't won three in a row all year, I believe. And so the other teams in the division, Seattle, Anaheim's really cooled off. You know, it's just it's kind of a crazy time right now where you kind of look at the Sharks and say, well, you know, I don't know. Maybe they can not only make the playoffs, but maybe make a little deeper run than people expect. And you know, if they add a piece or two here to this team, where does that lead you? Mm-hmm. You know, where does that put this team? And so it is a bit of a balance here for Mike Greer. I don't think he wants to sacrifice too much in the future to win right now. And you know, just but you want to try to bring in pieces maybe that fit in, you know, for the long term too, or at least past this season. So, you know, we'll see what happens here. He's got some things to figure out here, and you know, I'm sure he'll, in his mind, if he wants to, make some moves that can help this team not only now, but in the years to come. He'll certainly consider that, but also keep the big picture in mind and try to make this a team that's going to be sustainable for the long haul here. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what the front office does here in terms of, positioning itself for a playoff run and, potentially to make the playoffs and then, potentially to do some damage when you get in. So it's a big time for the Sharks. We haven't had to talk about this for 5-6 years yet about, playoffs and what's going to happen for the deadline. It's always been sell, sell, sell. Now we're talking about, potentially adding and being in a playoff race for the first time since 2019. So it's an interesting time around the Sharks for sure.
To hear the rest of that interview I did with Curtis yesterday, be sure to check out the build-up, Game 45 versus Vegas, where we talk about a lot of the other things happening around the San Jose Sharks, some fun stuff to get into. But, the Sharks have sped up the timeline, seemingly, but that doesn't mean they have sped up their contention window. It just means that right now they are a team in a very parity-laden league or competitive balance, because I know that Gary Bettman does not like parity, but right now, the Sharks have shown themselves to be within that competitive balance of a team that can vie for the playoffs halfway through the month of January. But it's all about extending that timeline. Can they be vying for the playoffs in 2 weeks from now and 2 weeks from that and 2 weeks from that? And yes, I know there is an Olympic break, but you get the point I'm trying to make. The Sharks want to continue to be part of this battle. And sometimes it does take a game like last night for the Sharks to have a little bit of, I don't know if reality check is still the right term, but maybe just be humbled a bit and knowing that, yes, they do have this ability to come back in these games. They do have this ability to have these wild swings of momentum, and they've got so much young talent, but they still need to be reminded that that can't win them every game, that a team like Vegas knows how to shut them down, knows how to overpower them, knows what they need to do to take a team like the Sharks out of their comfort zone. And sometimes that's more important than anything else. Is learning how to deal with that adversity and learning how to figure out those tough games. It's one thing to be a front-running team or a comeback team, but to not allow another team to completely take you out of your game and just put you on your heels throughout, that's something the Sharks have to learn, even if it is a bad matchup. I think at this point we can acknowledge that Vegas is a quote-unquote bad matchup for San Jose, but if San Jose can figure things out, if they can figure out how to take their talents to the next level and play against teams like Vegas, even if it's a bad matchup, that's what's going to allow them to eventually be a quote-unquote championship contender. I would love for San Jose to have that opportunity in the near future. It feels like it's trending that way, but we don't know until we get there. However, these games where they do get, kicked around by Vegas, and even if it wasn't that bad last night, you still lost 7-2. It wasn't as bad as the previous 7-2 losses, but if you lose on aggregate 14-4 to a team over two straight games, that is telling. That's a very much a sobering reality of where you are versus where that team is. People going into this season were talking about Vegas being a contender for a reason. People going into this year were not talking about the Sharks being a contender for a reason. Now, people did not know how quickly Macklin Celebrini was going to ramp up his game and ascend to the next level of stardom in the NHL, nor did they know that the Sharks were going to be this competitive this long. But when we look from a 30,000-foot level at talent, at experience, pelts on the wall for both team, you have to recognize that one team is just at a higher level than the other is right now. And that's fine. But the Sharks have to continue to aspire to get to that level. They have to work hard. One of the storylines that was buried in last night's game was probably the return of Michael Misa. Because when you lose 7-2, it's hard to find out a lot that Michael Misa did right in that game, and I'm not putting anything on him, but I thought he played all right. And I always go by, I didn't see anything bad. I didn't see anything amazing. What I did see from Michael Misa was a player who was out there with more pace than he showed earlier this year. And I think that's just gaining experience as a player in the NHL. He recently played at the World Juniors. He is in November, that's just a couple months into his pro career. Now we're talking about January. These months matter. Macklin Celebrini of October last year was not the same Macklin Celebrini as March of last year. Same thing for Will Smith. Growth happens over time. We are all extremely impatient. I'll be the first to acknowledge that. But growth happens over time. And thankfully, the San Jose Sharks have shown us a good deal of growth from their young players. Sam Dickinson is another one who continues to show growth, which I am very pleased with. John Klingberg back in the lineup last night. Not a young player, an extremely experienced veteran. Looked fine, looked healthy. Again, it was not part of game-changing, game-breaking plays or anything like that. But when you lose 7-2, there aren't going to be many like that. Good to see him back out there on the ice. That was encouraging. Also, Colin Graf, he gets a goal in last night's game. Good to see him maybe start to heat back up, as he is just such a very, very talented player. Even in these games where the Sharks don't have a good performance when they lose 7-2, I sometimes think to myself, well, you know, Colin Graf was good. Colin Graf's one guy that I can say was not having a bad night, and I felt that way last night because even if the Sharks' penalty kill was not great, of which one game after the next, huge swing of momentum, it's going to happen like that sometimes. I still loved Colin Graf's active nature out there on the ice. I love the way he was fighting hard. I love the way he was playing. And, you know, again, he was not the problem. And it's hard, again, specifically to point to last night's game and say, oh, such and such was the problem. Now, the problem was the Sharks were outworked and outclassed by a better team. That's life in the NHL. I wish there were a more detailed, more nuanced conversation to have around it than that. But the Sharks aren't where Vegas is quite yet. I would love it if they could get there, but for the time being, the San Jose Sharks have to continue to work towards getting to where a team like Vegas is. They're simply not there yet. Let's get into some of the highlights from last night. As clearly it was Vegas who struck first.
Vegas has it. Lozon on the point. Skates down the wing. Throws it toward the net. Celebrini tips it aside. It's played in front. Great save. Rebound. Score. That's Jack Eichel getting his own rebound and powering it through Askarov, who made the first save. But Eichel makes it 1-0 Vegas.
So very, very quickly in this one, Jack Eichel with his 15th goal of the year makes it a 1-0 lead for Vegas over San Jose at the 7:19 mark. But just about 2 minutes later, Colin Graf with his 12th of the year, assisted by Jeff Skinner, makes it a 1-1 game. Sharks tie it. The tank is rocking.
Misa left wing side shoots it forward. Graf takes it off the defense. Moves it on the left side, feeds to the slot. Skinner stops it, throws it toward the goal. Shot now taken, score! Nice job there by the Sharks, firing it toward the net. And the San Jose Sharks have tied this game 1-1. A really nice job by Colin Graf to feed that from the left wing side. A right-handed shot toward the net. And the Sharks have evened the score.
After this, unfortunately, the San Jose Sharks would find themselves on the wrong end of penalties, on the wrong end of the neutral zone battle, and Vegas would just flex and show that they are clearly the better team at this point. Eichel, with another goal, makes it 3-1.
Vegas gets it back, though. Uh-oh, trouble. Score! Eichel got it in his spot in the right circle, and it came across, and he's got that laser-like delivery. Vegas 3, the Sharks 1, and Eichel has his second goal of the game and 16th of the season.
Then it would be our old pal Tomas Hertl making it a 4-1 lead for Vegas.
Eichel gets it back from the left circle, right on the dot almost. He stick handles with the puck, watching, looking, shooting, save, rebound, fired toward the net, just wide. That was a chance for Tomas Hertl right in front of the goal. Eichel in the corner to Marner. Now Dorofeev near side, shoots toward the net, save, rebound, score! Tomas Hertl in front of the net, bangs it in, and it's 4-1 Vegas. That's a power play goal for the former Shark.
Vegas not done with their second period scoring. Zach Whitecloud, assisted by Tomas Hertl and Noah Hanifin, makes it a 5-1 game.
Sent around the boards. Whitecloud the shot. Score! Whitecloud from the point. How did that get through? I'm not sure. But Zach Whitecloud making it 5-1. And this game's getting a little bit out of hand right now.
The Sharks did show more battle, however, than I do believe that the second period scoreboard was showing. I think they were still creating opportunities. It was a much better game than they had in their previous 7-2 loss. I know I've said that a million times, but it does bear repeating. However, they would pull one back. Alexander Wennberg continues to be red hot. His 10th goal of the year. Timothy Liljegren with his 8th. Tyler Toffoli with his 19th in terms of assists. And the Sharks make it 5-2. But even though you love to see that goal, it did not feel like there was going to be a magic comeback on that night. However, I was acknowledging to myself, as much as I was thinking at the time, probably not going to happen. Still could, though, because the Sharks team does have a little bit of that magic about them.
Well, now knocked down by Liljegren. Moves to the right. Here comes the shot. Score! That's Wennberg on the right side. Nice job by Liljegren to jump into the play, knock down the puck, and feed it over to his fellow Swede. And that's the 10th goal of the season for Alex Wennberg. Wennberg has hit the 10-goal mark now seven times in his career. And he extends a point streak pretty well, too, to four straight games. And that makes the score 5-2.
You know, some guys sign those contracts and they kind of quiet down a little bit because they relax. It seems like getting a new contract and being assigned to Team Sweden has only emboldened Alex Wennberg, and he's playing the best hockey of his career. Again, I know he's on the other side of 30 now, but he has looked as fast as he's ever looked in his career right now. He's one of the leaders of this team. Obviously, he has such a great mentality, always willing to take accountability and responsibility and talk to the media very plainly and very upfront and honest after tough losses like these. So Alex Wennberg, you got to give him a lot of credit. So it's 5-2 after two periods. Vegas not yet done piling on San Jose.
Rebound cleared all the way down toward the empty net. Score! Jay Theodore getting the puck, throwing it all the way down. And it is a 6-2 lead. Empty netter for Vegas.
That makes it 6-2, and then Tomas Hertl with one final strike for Vegas.
Hanifin shoots in. Sends it back to the point now. Dorofeev, right side. Score! Oh, boy. Tomas Hertl gets his fifth point of the game. Second goal. Two goals. Three assists. And it's 7-2.
That's all she wrote. 7-2 was your final. The San Jose Sharks taking it on the chin before they go out on the road, but they had won three in a row before that one loss, so this is very much a flip of the narrative from what we saw a year ago. It would have been one win out of every four games as opposed to one loss out of every four games. Let's get reaction from head coach Ryan Warsawski after last night's tough 7-2 loss to Vegas.
Yeah, we were more engaged in the game tonight than we were in Vegas.
What do you guys need to prove on against Vegas, right? They just seem to frustrate you guys a little better tonight, but what makes it so difficult to play against them?
Yeah, go up and down the list. They're big, they're long, they can skate, they play with structure, they're an experienced team that's won, that know what winning looks like. And go down the list. So they give us a lot of problems, but we gave them a few goals. Our special teams wasn't great tonight. We just couldn't get our game going at all.
What didn't work on the power play tonight compared to maybe last night?
Yeah, we just didn't have that attack mindset to bring pucks to the net.
What's so effective about their power play that maybe you guys can take from?
Well, one, they have everything you really want on a power play. They have an elite guy on the half on Eichel. They got a big guy in Stone as a righty, and then they have Tommy in the middle as a lefty, and then they get a one-timer in the flank. And then you get Mitch Marner up top. And that's without Theodore. There's dangerous weapons at all five spots. That's what makes it difficult.
What you guys have done to defend it better, though?
Yeah, we made some adjustments. We thought we just didn't execute it. I thought we did a better job. I think on that last one, we wanted to pressure Eichel a little bit, get the puck out of his hands. We just gave him too much time over there.
Do you think there's maybe a level of fatigue from yesterday's game, especially that overtime game?
Yeah, it could be. They played two, though, so there's not really an excuse. I think more so the emotional win that we had. A young team like us can kind of get put on their heels from it, and I think that's what happened.
It's still like when you hurt with this team, Vegas, when you guys have lost them 7-2 back-to-back games now?
It doesn't matter the opposition. We got to play better in a lot of different areas and learn how to win consistently and play the right way consistently at the end of the day.
What do you think of Mike Mason's game tonight? Does he look now as opposed to maybe a couple of months ago?
Yeah, I thought he did some good things. Again, he's in the right spots. Had some opportunities, started skating some pucks a little bit more in the third and one game, small sample, so we'll continue to work with him.
For Vegas in particular, they shrink the zone, and what did they do that?
That's the way they play. They play this type of structure they play with. Butch has done it since Boston. It's a tight defensive zone coverage that is hard to break down unless you shoot pucks, and we didn't shoot pucks tonight.
And how much is their size a challenge, too, especially back end?
Yeah, they got big trees back there. That is the new era of the National Hockey League. There's big, long defensemen. So if you're big and long, and you've got some ability to play, make some plays and close and kill plays, you'll play in this league for a long time.
We can usually tell when head coach Ryan Warsawski is ticked off with his team's performance by body language, by the shortness of his answers. I'm sure he was not pleased last night, but I think he also was aware of the reality that Vegas is just a much better team, and maybe his team was a little bit fatigued on the second night of a back-to-back. Of course, he did acknowledge that Vegas was on the second night of a back-to-back as well, but again, I don't think he's at the point where he can lose it over losses, right? Like, this team in San Jose is still building, is still figuring things out, is still learning how to win at the NHL level, and Ryan Warsofsky up to this point has done a great job of fostering their identity, and sometimes you have to be unreactive after a tough loss, as maybe you do have to be reactive in certain other situations, and I think Ryan Warsofsky has shown a lot of growth in terms of figuring that out, because you can't just eschew everything you've done well before you get beat by a contender. You have to acknowledge the good stuff that your team has done, and you have to be able to look beyond what happens in a tough loss, quickly focus on the next game. Let's hear from Michael Misa, who is back in the NHL for the first time since the start of November.
Get back into the NHL here.
Felt good. It's good to get back here.
That's a tough Vegas team. I know this is, I believe, your first time playing against them. What can you learn, just what to expect from a team like that that has Stanley Cup aspirations?
I think just what they do in all three zones, and they play heavy, so it's hard to, you know, create stuff off them sometimes, but yeah, they're a good team.
And what did you like about your game, and what...
I thought I came out with speed. Just I think defensively there's some things need to clean up getting back to this level, but I thought I was moving my feet well, and yeah, I got to continue to do that.
Speaking of that, did you feel maybe a little faster out there? I mean, visually you did look a little, so I was wondering if you felt like that too about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're forced to play faster. You got to always be skating at this level, and I felt pretty good.
Do you feel like that you're going to stick around here and not have to go back to juniors?
What?
Do you feel like they're going to buy out your contract this year? I thought that's already been established or no?
They told me I'm staying, so that's the plan, yeah.
As you get through this now, what do you want to add to your game just to maybe help get you to where you want to go? Maybe not necessarily producing offense, but just to feel like you're impacting people.
I think I just got to keep playing 200 feet. Got to want the puck. And, I thought our line was, had some chances tonight. And, just got to continue to build off that.
You've played with Colin before, obviously, scores again tonight. What worked so well on the goal? Obviously, it looked like the pressure on the forecheck created. What worked well getting the puck deep there on that goal?
Like you said, we just got it deep and was able to create a turnover. And, right place, right time for Graffer. And, yeah, he finished it nicely.
Vegas is one of the bigger defenses in the league. What's that challenge along the boards for you?
You just got to adjust your game a little bit. Find guys that are open when you do have the puck and try to get around them because, yeah, there's some big boys. But, I think, if we play them again, it'd hopefully be a different result. So.
Yeah, it's a tough challenge for Michael Misa coming into the NHL for the first time in many months and taking on a contender in Vegas. But you measure yourself against the best, and I think that's an important learning experience for Michael Misa. Let's hear a little bit from Alex Wenberg before we run out of time.
No, I mean, the way they're shrinking the zone, obviously, you don't really get that much time in space. They're quick closing time. And, I mean, for us that want to maybe get some momentum, get some long shifts, it's kind of like a little bit one and done. So, obviously, they did a good job. But, like I said, I feel like every time we talk about us playing good hockey, it's always come down to our identity and how we play. And right now, no matter who we play against, what team it is, we got to go back to what we know we can be successful with. And today, I didn't feel we played that game.
Their ability to shoot the zone, is that what kind of made it hard for you guys to kind of play your game and skate and kind of push back that way?
Yeah, I mean, that's a part of it. But, I've just been repeating myself a little bit right now. But, I mean, right now we didn't skate enough. We didn't get the puck down deep, and we didn't make it hard for them. Obviously, they're D-men, good forwards, all that. But if we just kept doing what we do, I feel like we would play better. But right now, there's not much we can do about it. Obviously, a disappointing result, but we got to look forward to be better.
You get an experienced player like Alex Wenberg out there, and he seemed to be very aware of all the deficiencies the Sharks had against Vegas in this game. Nothing was overly surprising to him. He seemed to be not at peace with the results, but seemed to be understanding that the Sharks just aren't there yet. And I think that's the the resounding, you know, reality out of this game and against some of the other top-tier upper echelon teams is, for the most part, the Sharks just aren't there yet. But they can occasionally beat a team like Colorado, like Dallas, like Carolina. That has happened this year, but it's not something they can consistently rely upon. That's where they want to be A, and that's where they need to be B if they want to take that next step as a franchise. But I think asking them to do this year is a little bit too much to ask. We're out of time. I will see you on Thursday as we get ready for the San Jose Sharks to take on Washington. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.